Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tine.
Governor Walker last week floated his proposal for the future of the state's transportation budget. The plan includes a two-year delay on the zoo interchange work with no additional taxes. It's just the beginning to the biennial budget cycle.
And as is always the case, local governments will be looking closely at the governor's overall proposed budget as they plan for the future. As the process gets underway, the Public Policy Forum this morning released an analysis of the city of Milwaukee's financial condition and puts it into context with a similar analysis from 7 years ago. Rob Henkin is president of the forum, and he's with us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
So the Public Policy Forum looks at the city and county budgets every year, but this report that's just out is a broader analysis of the city, right? This is a similar report that you undertook about 7 years ago as well?
That is correct. And so this is a deeper dive that actually looks at four levels of solvency in terms of evaluating the city's financial condition. So in our annual budget brief, we do look at the annual budget and what does it take to produce a balanced budget and what does that portend. Here we take a much deeper dive into trends, five-year trends, and what they tell us about the future, long-term outlook. And we also try to make that very important connection between budgets and services and to say, to what extent are the services that citizens have been accustomed to receiving going to be able to continue at those levels in the future?
Well, and when you compare the city's financial condition in this way today to where it was the last time you undertook this, which was, you know, it should be said, during the recession, how do things stack up?
So without question, Mitch, we find a city government that is in much better fiscal condition than it was 7 years ago. They have effectively managed their way through the depths of the recession, dealing with issues like a huge spike in their pension obligation, a foreclosure crisis. The fact that city leaders have been able to do that without depleting their reserves, without unnecessarily putting off infrastructure repairs and other things that you'd look for that you'd hope not to see, I think is certainly a good news story. The more troubling news, however, as we point out, is that the word improved has to be taken in the context that you mentioned. In 2009, they were at the depth. Things looked pretty hopeless at that point. So improvement doesn't mean great outlook. It essentially means back to the point where they can get by. But I think one of the questions we're posing in this report is that good enough?
Well, so remind us, what did the city do to right the ship, and why don't those solutions also hold true? Why can't it do those things again?
The foremost strategy that occurred was the ability to completely change the way healthcare benefits were structured for city employees and retirees. The city went to a self-funded approach, and the city also looked at the benefits structure and reduced those. And part of that, because I know this is going to be a question, part of that was a direct result of Wisconsin Act 10 in terms of the city's ability to do things without having to collectively bargain them, and we'll never know for sure whether, if collective bargaining had been in place, the city would have been able to generate similar changes. But also, quite clearly, several of the changes either were in process or could and would have occurred without Act 10. So that's sort of off to the side. But the bottom line issue is the city has saved tens of millions of dollars. Every year, when they budgeted the savings they were expected, they were conservative and they actually realized more. So these have essentially rolled on from year to year. And these healthcare savings were used essentially to meet the spike in the pension obligation, to maintain service levels where they were, and to be able to continue to replenish reserves yearly, which enabled them to then withdraw funding from reserves when they needed to.
And I gather the way the math works, there's only really one more year where this is possible.
That's the thinking right now. So as you said, we're going to see the 2017 budget. It's actually coming out on September 26th. And our sense is that that's not going to be a terribly difficult budget because in terms of actual 2016 healthcare expenditures versus budgeted, the actual still are below. So there's an ability to roll those savings into 2017. But in discussing the matter and in analyzing it ourselves, we feel like 2018 2018 might be the first year in quite some time where the city's actually going to have to budget for increased healthcare expenditures.
So if we think about these things as tools that the city could use, the tool chest is getting to be empty.
It is, with the one exception that, again, there's nothing to say that the city can't seek additional changes in the healthcare benefit structure that would essentially require employees to either receive a lesser quality of healthcare plan or to pay more. The question is whether they would want to do that in this labor market.
What are the other pressures that are looming that you see?
The next big one, and we actually talked about this just a few days ago, infrastructure is a huge one. The city has an aging infrastructure. The city hall building itself is facing a $60 million repair project. There's a need for a new police administration building. And so the question here is, how much can the city afford to borrow on an annual basis to take care of those big needs, as well as the ongoing needs associated with city streets and bridges and so on, without driving up debt service payments in the annual budget so that those are adding another pressure on top of those already faced? So that really could be the number one. The number two, I think, is still pension. And there's going to be a need to reset the amount of money and the assumptions that are used to determine the amount of the city's annual contribution, and that could result in higher pension obligations beginning in 2018.
The term you used back in 2009 was public safety versus potholes. Are we approaching that dynamic again?
Well, so that's the other, I think, big takeaway from the report on the expenditure side is that already over the past several years, the police department has essentially been chewing up any extra money that the city had in terms of small increases in certain revenue streams and these healthcare savings, as I mentioned, which has essentially meant that for all other city departments, it's been a status quo type of situation. We think that's going to continue. The question becomes, can other city departments from fire to public health to public works really function at the levels that citizens have been accustomed to them functioning while also being able to maintain existing sworn strength levels on the Milwaukee Police Department? Now, as I'm sure you're aware, we also have some discussion about possibly wanting to add police officers, and that's when I think the rubber would really hit the road on that question.
And moreover, this is an interesting time to be looking at this, given the pressures that the city is facing when it's looking at possible solutions to, you know, kind of de-escalate, if you would, things in places like Sherman Park.
Exactly. And again, our prognosis is that there should be no mistake about it. We're not Detroit. And I know we say that often on lots of subjects, and that's good news, and it's not to knock Detroit. But this is a city that is in stable fiscal condition. But if there is a thought that there is capacity to invest in additional police or in additional workforce training or community development in the wake of Sherman Park, that's where it becomes really difficult because their revenue growth does not equate to meeting new needs or new investments. It's essentially just enough to try to get by from year to year.
Well, and so this report kind of stops short of making recommendations or even analyzing potential solutions to fixing the city's revenue structure. But I gather that is one of the next steps in this process?
It is. And I think a very key suggestion and finding back in 2009 was that this revenue structure is broken, that the city's over-reliance on revenue from the state of Wisconsin, which has been frozen for years, was a major factor. It was putting too much pressure on the property tax, that perhaps there ought to be other sources of local revenue options in that mix. We will repeat those same exact suggestions today, especially when you consider what's happening downtown and the growth in development and the new arena and all of the economic activity that is occurring. What city government doesn't have is any ability to generate revenue from the visitors and the commuters and the consumers of city services who are coming and spending their money. If there was a local sales tax, for example, and we're not pushing a local sales tax, but just as a hypothetical example, that would be an opportunity potentially to bring in more revenue from visitors and commuters, and also an opportunity hypothetically to reduce the property tax burden on city residents.
And so if this report stops short part of analyzing that, are we looking at a time down the line when maybe you'll be crunching the numbers in terms of what a local sales tax or something else could generate?
We will. And in fact, that is a report that we are going to dive into as soon as we are done with this one and analyzing both the city and county budget. We hope to provide just a menu of options and really some more in-depth analysis in terms of how other similar sized cities across the country, what their revenue mix is, and is there something we can learn from that? And we're inevitably going to have a conversation about should citizens be taxed more. But we think the starting point for the conversation should be, let's assume nobody's going to be taxed, that the total revenues are not going to grow, but is this the appropriate mix that we have today? Is that sustainable? Or if we were starting from scratch, would we want to develop a new revenue structure for city government?
We are not at the point where we're looking at a bake sale or a car wash, though.
Well, if things continue, who knows?
Rob, thanks.
Thank you.
Rob Henken is president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. The group's report on Milwaukee's fiscal condition is called Making Ends Meet. You'll find a link to it at wuwm.com.